So there in Exodus 24, we see, of course, one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of the earth. We see Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness to go to the promised land. And we see Moses doing what? He's leading his generation. See, Moses was the leader of that generation. But here in Exodus 24, we see someone else who at the time you and I can consider the next generation. And that person in this story is Joshua. Exodus 24, look at verse number 12. Again, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses," here we have God calling Moses to go up into Mount Sinai to receive the oracles of God. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And Moses rose up, verse 13, notice, "and his minister Joshua." Here we have the Lord God calling the leader of that generation, the leader Moses. He's saying, come up to the mount. And here we see what? We see his minister, Joshua. See, at this time, Joshua was the next generation, just like you. The generation that was to come after Moses. And this morning, I want to talk about this man, Joshua, and the heart of Joshua. And it is the heart that is needed for the next generation. See, if you think about this youth rally, you know, we have activities, we have games, we have things to excite you so you can have some fun. But all that, you have to remember, teens, all that is geared around the preaching of the Word of God. And all that's here is to do what? So that the Word of God can penetrate your heart. So that the preaching of the Word of God can go into your heart and it can do a work in your life. And here we see the heart of the next generation. And there's three things about this man, Joshua, I want to show you. And it is a heart that you ought to have as the next generation. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? Number one, a heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. Verse number 12, again, "And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." See, Moses at the time, he was the one leading the charge. He was the one preaching the word of God. He was the one leading the people, doing the great works. But what do we see in verse 13? "And Moses rose up to do his thing." Notice, "and his minister Joshua." You see, what is the heart that is needed for the next generation? A heart that is needed is a heart to serve. Here we have Joshua doing what? Just ministering unto Moses. You know, what is a minister? A minister is someone who attends to the needs of someone else. It's looking after or taking care of them. It's being a servant unto. And before Joshua became the great leader of that next generation, you know, what got him there? It was the fact that he had the heart of a servant. And you know, you ought to strive, teen, you know, decide in your heart that you would have a heart to serve other people. The heart of a servant. Ask God to give you a servant's heart. He placed her in Exodus 24, but go to Matthew, or go to Philippians 2, if you have Philippians chapter number 2. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? A heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. You go to Philippians chapter number 2. And while you go there, in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." You see, what is the purpose of our Savior coming to this earth? Did he come for himself, to glorify himself, to live for self? It's all about me, me, me. No, he said, the purpose, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He didn't come here for himself, to please himself, to do whatever he wanted to do, to live a selfish life. No, it says, but to minister. Notice, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, our Savior came to this earth not for the sole purpose of living for self. And look, we've heard the preaching throughout the conference that we live in a world that is focused on self. It's all about me. What can I get? How can you serve me? Mommy gave me this. Daddy gave me this. I want this. We complain because we don't get what we want. But we see the purpose of the Savior. He came here not to live for self. No, it's to live for others. And you got to have a heart, young teen, to live your life for the purpose of other people. Philippians 2, look verse number 7. Notice the heart of the Savior. It says, but made himself, notice, of no reputation. And look, and what are teens worried about today? They're worried about their reputation, right? How they look, how they're perceived. But we think about just human history. You know, who in history has had the biggest impact outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? God in the flesh came to this earth. He has the best reputation of all. But notice, when he came to this earth, it says he made himself of no reputation. Notice, and took upon him how? the form of a servant and was made like into the likeness of men. You see, what is the heart that it is needed for the next generation? And it is a heart to serve. And as a teen, look, you ought to have a heart to minister to other people. And this must be a theme because, you know, yesterday at the park, this is the main point of pastoring men, is that you don't want to live a life that is all self-absorbed, that it's all about you, and you're going to live a life that's miserable if you do that. But when you choose to live for others, to minister unto others, to help others, look, that will bring you purpose in your life. You know, something our pastor always says is that when you live for self, at the end of the day, all you will have is yourself. And nobody wants to live like that, where it's all about me. Look, that you ought to just decide, you know what? I'm not going to worry about my reputation. I want to make myself of no reputation. I'm going to esteem others better than myself. Be a minister unto other people. And look, there's areas that you can serve as a teen. Look, if you're a teenager, look, you're strong. You have strength. In your youth, you're strong. Look, you got to use that strength for the service of God. And realize, look, if you go to church, you got to just serve in church. Find somewhere where you can serve and be a blessing to your pastor, to your church. Look, join a ministry. Join the choir. Join the orchestra. Join the cleaning crew. Join the prison ministry. Whatever they have, look, anyone can serve. You see, what's greatness? Look, greatness in the kingdom of God is when you serve other people. The greatest are those who are the servants. So decide as a teen, look, if you want to live a life of purpose, and look, all this is to do what? The whole youth rally is so that we can penetrate your heart. And look, in your heart, just decide to have a servant's heart. And look, we call ourselves Christian and praise the Lord for it. But let's be like Christ and make ourselves of no reputation, where our life is actually not just to please ourselves and to live for ourselves. Look, our life is for other people. So look, you got to just find an area in your life to serve. See, a heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. And a heart to serve ministers to other people. But not just that, a heart to serve cares for other people. Look, teen, you ought to just take the time to give your care, to give your affection to the right people, to the right things. And look, there is a battle today, teenager, to win your heart. There is a battle to win your heart. Look, the devil wants to take your heart unto himself so he can destroy your heart. And he puts things in front of you that you can lust after, that you can go after, but all that is meant to destroy you. Look, all that's in the world, it's just the lust of the world, it's all filth to God. And just realize that there's a battle for your heart. So decide, you know what? I'm going to have a heart to serve others. I'm going to care, give my affection to other people. Go to Numbers 11, if you would, Numbers chapter 11. And we see the heart of a servant, Joshua, a man who was willing to do what? To minister unto Moses. But not just that, we see Joshua actually caring for other people. Because look, you can serve, but your heart cannot be in it. But you see, Joshua's heart, he cared for Moses. He cared for other people. Numbers 11, look verse number 27. And in Numbers 11, we have the Lord taking the spirit that was upon Moses and resting it upon 70 of the elders of the children of Israel. But notice the story in Numbers 11, verse 27. It says, and there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. You know, you think about that. Well, that's a good thing. You know, they're preaching the word of God. That's a good thing. But notice in verse 28, the heart of Joshua. And Joshua, the son of Nun, notice, the servants of Moses. It says, notice, one of his young men. You know, I don't know how many young men Moses had to minister unto him, but you know what? Joshua was just one. Joshua was just one who had the right heart, who was a minister, he was a servant. But notice what this young man, Joshua, tells Moses. Answered and said, notice, my Lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Here we have, you know, Joshua kind of getting a little bit upset. They're saying, look, Moses, look, these people, they're preaching the word of God. You know, you got to just stop them, forbid them, Moses, because they're doing your job. You know, at the time, you know, Joshua was a little overly zealous at the time. But you know what? I appreciate the heart of Joshua. You know, in this story, we see that Joshua earnestly cared for Moses. He had his affection. He appreciated him. And yeah, he was overly zealous. But you know what? It shows us that Joshua, he actually cared. And he wanted to help Moses. He was there. His heart was with Moses, willing to help him, to minister unto him. And look, when you live for others, teenager, look, you got to give the right people your affection. You know, and I can appreciate this. You know, when somebody attacks, you know, your parents, that should make you upset. It should bother you when people want to attack your parents, when they're criticizing them. And look, teenager, don't you be the one criticizing your parents. And think about how heartbreaking would that be. Your parents who love you, who raised you, who paid for you to be here, who bought your food, who bought your clothes, who bought everything you have. It's amazing to me how teenagers, you know, they get to this certain age in their life when they think somehow everything's just owed to them. And yet that, like, did you buy your own food? You know, it's like, did you clothe yourself? Did you raise yourself? Did you buy your own cell phone? Did you get your shoes? Whatever you have, look, all of it, your parents worked hard for you. You got to give them your affection. You got to give them your love. And here you see the heart of Joshua. You know, and I appreciate this in Joshua. The fact that, you know what, yeah, he might have been overly zealous, but you know what? His heart, I believe, was in the right place. He cared for him. You know, even last night with the wrestling match, you know, Pastor Jimenez was doing his thing in there, right? And, you know, my three-year-old daughter, she was devastated. My three-year-old thought that her pastor was getting hurt in that ring. And the tears were coming down, and she was just devastated. She couldn't bear to watch. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know what, praise the Lord. That, you know what, she has a heart for her pastor. That she's upset that somebody's hurting him. But you know what, look, teenager, look, you ought to give your affection to the right people. Look, teenager, your parents ought to know that you're there for them. That you love them. And you gotta, you know, do your parents know, teenager, that they have your heart? You know, your parents do everything for you. Like, you gotta show them appreciation. And as we heard yesterday, look, tell them thank you. Tell them I love you. Tell them I appreciate that. And show them how by being there to serve them. Because look, what is a child? You know, when a baby's born, they don't take care of themselves. They need the milk. They need mom and dad to do everything for them. But look, when you get to those 13, 14, 15, look, you want to start being an adult, you want to start getting some respect. Look, transition from being a baby, a child who needs constant care, to being someone who can take care of themselves and then serve other people. So just decide in your heart, teenager, to be a servant. Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, and be kind one to another. It says tender-hearted. You know, tender-hearted means that your heart breaks. And so, like, your heart ought to break for your parents, teenager, who've done everything for you. Look, your church should have your heart. You ought to earnestly care for your church. And you know, when your church family's hurting, look, you should hurt too. When they're rejoicing, hey, let's rejoice with them. Just be there, give them your heart. And look, we live in a day where people are just unappreciative living for self. 2 Timothy 3:1, the Bible says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And look, this describes the, look at the world. This describes the world that we live in. Living for just lovers of their own selves. They take pictures, but who is it of? It's just of themselves. Let me see how I look. The selfie, the eye, it's all me, just living for self. Look, teenager, that ought not to be the testimony of a Christian. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It says, unthankful. It's funny that how those two things go hand in hand. Disobedient to parents and unthankful. And look, teenager, look, realize that your parents, your pastor's wife, people around you, they've invested in you. They've helped you. Look, you got to give the right people your affection. And realize, look, that there's a devil out there who wants to take your heart and give it to the world, and give it to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and those things will destroy your life. But we see Joshua doing what? Caring for Moses, upset about the fact that Moses might be getting hurt. We see the heart of his servants. Go, if you would, to Exodus 17. You see, what is a heart needed for the next generation? A heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. Not only that, but number two, a heart for the next generation is a heart to fight. A heart for the next generation is a heart to fight. Look, teenager, you ought to get some fight in you and decide, you know what? I'm ready and willing to fight. And look, people naturally have this in them. You say, how do you know? Because like people just get mad for whatever thing. It's like they're always just angry. You can't look at somebody for like 2 seconds without them saying, what are you looking at? Like, why are you mugging me? You know, it's like you can't just like talk to people because everyone's just angry. Everyone's just ready for a fight. But you know what? You ought to get some fight in you too, Christian. And realize, look, that the Christian life is a fight. Exodus 17, look at verse number 8. It says, then came Amalek, notice, and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And what's amazing is that, you know, this is the first time that we see Joshua's name ever mentioned in the Bible. It says, then came Amalek, notice, and fought. And just get this in your head, teenager. The life is a fight. The Christian life is a fight. And look, there's a fight right now going on for your attention, trying to wake you up so you can pay attention and open your eyes. And just, it's funny how like, yeah, life is fun and easy and it's all fun and games when mommy and daddy are paying the bills. It's all fun and easy when mommy and daddy are providing the food. It's all fun and easy when you have pastor and pastor's wife doing everything for you, serving you hand and foot. But you know what? If it's like teenager, if you want to be an adult, then you know what? Go pay your mortgage and let's see how hard life gets. Raise a child for the Lord and let's see how hard life gets. And look, realize like all this is to prepare you for the fight. Because look, there is a fight. The Bible says in Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord my God, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, on Sunday night, you know, pastor preached a sermon called The Next Generation. And in that sermon, he said, we must prepare the next generation to fight. You see, what are we doing? We're having a great time with the games. And have a great time. Get in the jump houses. You know, go bowling. Have fun. But look, realize that the preaching of the word of God comes from a man of God who's fought the battles, who's been there for you. They're trying to prepare you. They're trying to train you. Why? Because look, life is hard. And the Christian life is a fight. And it's going to come. In verse number 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, notice again, the first time he's mentioned in the Bible. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. He said, go out. He said, fight with Amalek. You know, I don't know why Moses chose Joshua. It says that Joshua was just one of his young men. Moses could have chosen anyone. But I wonder if it's because he saw some zeal in Joshua. He saw some fight. He saw a young man ready and willing to fight for the Lord. He said, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And look, Chris, teenager, you got to just decide today, decide, I'm going to fight for the faith. Decide, look, I'm going to fight for lost souls. Because look, there's a battle, there's a war going on. People are dying and going to hell. People are constantly attacking our churches. There's a fight against Christianity. You may not see it, but it's out there. And just get the mindset, look, I'm ready for a fight. Look, there's a fight for your purity. The devil wants to corrupt your mind. You got to just learn to flee fornication. And decide today, I'm going to be pure until the day that I'm married. Walk up to the altar as a virgin. Why? Because like, there's a fight to destroy your life. And just decide, you know what? I'm willing to get in the fight. Go if you want to Jude 1, Jude chapter number 1. In 1 Timothy 6:12, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. It says fight. Sounds like a command. Like, fight the good fight of faith. You go to Jude. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Bible says, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And look, realize this. Look, Joshua at this time, he was that next generation. And here we have Moses leading the people. God's giving him the faith. And Moses' job is to teach them. Teach that next generation. Prepare them for the battle. And look, that's what we're doing. The faith that has been given unto us, we are giving it unto you, and it is your job to continue that fight. Jude 1, verse 3, the Bible says in verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was, notice, once delivered unto the saints. You know that faith? You know, you see these great men of God? You see Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Anderson, Pastor Przarski preaching the word of God. But look, that faith, it didn't just come from them. That faith was delivered unto them. It was given unto them. And they have chosen to do what? To take up the battle. To take the word of God. Preach the word of God. Fight for your purity. Fight for your minds. Fight for your heart. Fight for the faith. Fight for lost souls. And look, that's what we're delivering unto you, the faith, so that you can take up that battle for us as well. Because look, one day Moses won't be there, Joshua. One day, your parents aren't going to be there. One day, the next generation will have to rise afterwards, and the battles have to be fought. So decide to earnestly contend for the faith. Go back to Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? It's a heart to fight. And you see, look, I'm just one teenager. What can I do? Well, look, Joshua is just one servant. He was just one young man, one servant just deciding to have what? To have some heart in his life, to have a fight in him. Exodus 17, notice verse number 13, Exodus 17, verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book, notice, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Like after the battle was over, you know, God says, you know what? I don't want you to forget this fight. I want you to write what happened, write it in a book, and then do what? And rehearse it. Remind Joshua of the fight. You see why? Because look, because the fight is coming again. And realize, look, teenager, the battles that have been fought in the past against the filth, against the Sodomites, look, against whatever the devil has thrown at us, look, that fight is coming again. But look, guess what? Moses won't be there. And God wants to make sure that, you know what? Remind Joshua of the battles that have happened. Why? Because look, the battles will come to you. And look, you ought to be ready. Look, the Bible says you ought to be sober. You ought to be vigilant. Why? Because the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And one thing, if you watch animal shows, one thing you know about lions is that they always seek the weak. They seek those who are falling behind. They're seeking the babies. They want the easy pickings. And look, right now, teenager, you may not realize it, but look, you may not see the fight. Why? Because look, you have a mom and a dad who are fighting for you. You may not see the fight because look, you have a pastor and a pastor's wife. You have people who are older than you who are fighting those battles for you. But one day they won't be there. And so you got to just decide in your mind, in your heart, you know what? I'm going to learn to fight. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to read the word of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to make sure that I'm right with God. I'm going to fight for lost souls and just prepare yourself to be that next generation, to carry on that torch, to fight that good fight of faith. You see, what is a heart for the next generation? It is a heart to serve, to live for others. What is a heart for the next generation? It is a heart to fight. And lastly, what is a heart for the next generation? It is a heart for God. Go to Exodus 33, go to Exodus chapter 33. You gotta have a heart for God, teenager. And you know, in Exodus 33, you know, when you read about Joshua, there's a lot of exciting things about Joshua to talk about. I mean, you could talk about the walls of Jericho. You could talk about all the battles through the book of Joshua. There's a lot to talk about Joshua. But here in this passage, you know, there's one short phrase that really sticks out to me the most about Joshua, who at this time is that next generation. He's not yet leading the charge. But in Exodus 33, look at what it says in verse number 8. It says, and it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, notice, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. You have all the people just, when Moses goes in, they're just watching Moses. Verse 9, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And look at verse number 11. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. You know, I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been Moses. And, you know, to be there, just to be someone who God can say to you, say to me, look, he's speaking to you as face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And look, we can have that today in the word of God. When you can read the word of God and God can penetrate your heart if you were to just allow him to. We just pray to God, say, God, just please speak to my heart. Let the word of God penetrate and let it change your life. But notice what it says. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. And notice this phrase that God just has to throw in about Joshua. It says, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And it's amazing, but you know, all the people are mentioned. What's everyone doing? They're just at their tent door, just watching Moses go in and go out. And you know, this passage to me really shows the heart of Joshua. And it shows that Joshua had a heart for God. And we see Joshua doing what? Moses goes in, he's talking to God. He walks out, the people go back into their tents. But what does Joshua do? Joshua just stands there. Joshua says, you know what? Where shall I go? God is here. God is talking to Moses. And we see the heart of Joshua just, I want to be where God is. And like teenage, you gotta just decide to have this heart for God. To say, you know what, in my life, I'm gonna be where God wants me to be. And look, I believe Joshua loved God's people. I mean, he's fighting for them. He might die against the Amalekites. He's putting his neck on the line. I'm sure he loved Moses. But you know, when it comes to a heart for God, you gotta just decide, you know what, God is gonna have the preeminence in my life. That, you know what, wherever God is, that's where I'm gonna be. Look, get this mindset. Look, if people come and go in your life, just decide in your mind and your heart, look, I wanna be where God wants me to be. I wanna be in the will of God. And just have a heart for God, because if there's one thing that God wants from you, teenager, it's your heart. He wants you to love him. He wants you to have a passion for him and decide, you know what, I'm just not gonna depart out of God. And we see Joshua just not willing to go anywhere. Wherever God is, you know what, that's where I'm gonna be. Deuteronomy 6:5, the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You know, a prayer for the next generation ought to be, you know what, we pray that this next generation has a heart for God. That God will look down at his people and say, you know what, these people, they have my heart. And if God has your heart, Christian, yeah, you'll live for other people. If God has your heart, look, you'll do whatever God wants you to do. You'll be able to fight those battles, to help serve others, to win lost souls, but just decide to have a heart for God. You see, what is a heart that is needed for the next generation? It is a heart for God. Go, if you would, to Joshua 24, if you would, Joshua 24. So number one, a heart for the next generation is a heart to serve. Number two, a heart for the next generation is a heart to fight. And lastly, a heart for the generation is a heart for God. You go to Joshua 24, but in Numbers 27, I just want to read this for you. In Numbers 27, here we have God just choosing Joshua to be the successor, to be that next leader. You're in Joshua 24, but in Numbers 27, verse 18, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. It says, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. You see, God chose Joshua to be that next generation leader. You say, why was it? I think it's because he had a heart to serve, because he had a heart to fight. And God knew, you know what, this person has my heart. See, his heart was ready for what God had for him in life. And look, teenager, you have the rest of your life ahead of you. And the reality is, look, you can have all these plans in your mind, but look, you have no idea what your life's gonna look like in 10 years. And look, you gotta just decide, you know what, I'm gonna prepare myself today. By how? By serving other people. Getting involved, giving the right people your affection, by getting in the right fight, choosing to fight for the Christian life, choosing to fight for lost souls, fight for your purity, fight for yourselves, fight for each other, fight for your brethren, and decide, you know what, God's gonna have my heart. And in Joshua 24, we see the end of the life of Joshua, but I wanna point this out because here we have Joshua already at the end of his ministry. He's about to pass away, get off the scene, and he's speaking to the next generation. Famous passage of verse 15. Joshua speaking to the generation that is to come after him. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he asks this question. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, if Joshua was here today, he'd ask you the same thing, teenager. He'd say, you know what, make a choice. And like, you gotta just make a choice in your mind and your heart. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a question you got to just ask yourself, answer for yourself. Make that choice and choose in this youth rally. You know what? I'm going to serve. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Make that choice, Christian, teenager. And look, you don't know what God has for you, but you got to prepare yourself today for that next generation. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for your word and for all the teenagers that are here. I pray that you be with them, Lord, as they grow up to serve you, to live for you, and to be able to one day take up the baton and fight that good fight of faith, dear God. Lord, I thank you for this conference, and for everyone that's here, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.